World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
No, I didn't sleep in. No, I didn't oversleep. We're having some technical issues here this morning, so if you were faithful enough to hang around to jump in here with us at 11 minutes after 7, we apologize. There's something going on technically at the studio. For those of you who don't know, I'm just outside Columbus, Ohio. And this show is, technology is unbelievable, isn't it? And this show is transmitted or broadcast out of where Barney Fife was. No, Pilot, North Carolina. So they had some problems down in Mount Pilot, North Carolina. Barney must have thrown away the keys or something. I know that, Mount Airy. But so that's why we're a little bit late getting up and rolling here. I don't have it. I walk down here. I plug in a couple of things. I hit a button, and boom, these guys down there take care of all that. So I don't get it. I don't understand it. They had some problems going on down at their end. They do a great job. I appreciate Jared and Spencer, who just had another little baby, and all the crew, and all, I appreciate them. But we had some technical issues this morning. That's why we're coming in a little bit late on you today. Hey, we're going to do communion this morning. It's Friday. We try to do that every Friday morning here. And thank you for joining us. Look, I love my wife so much. I was just telling the folks in the pre-show while we're getting up, we went yesterday and made funeral arrangements. And I can't imagine not having her around. I can't imagine that. And the reality of it is when you go to make those funeral arrangements, golly, it kind of hits home. So, gee, I'm 72. She just turned 69. We're old folks, honey. We're old folks. And I shared this example as well. My dad, my mom and my dad are buried about, and when my dad grew up, they put him down there in Blue Valley, down in the hills. And I never go down there. I never, ever see my parents' grave. And Michelle's parents, same way. I don't want to talk about death, but these, you know, golly, so much stuff that they've taught us in Christianity. Why do we do what we do? The traditions of men. Jesus criticized Pharisees and the Sadducees because he said, you teach as commandments the doctrines of men. The doctrines of men. So ask yourself this. Why is it in just about every church that you walk into for a Sunday morning service, if you were to pick any church, you walk into a Sunday morning service, why are they all basically the same? You walk in, it starts out with praise and worship, and then maybe a Bible reading. And they're all basically the same. Why is that? Well, that is what we would call tradition. Now, there's nothing wrong with tradition, but it's also pretty good for us to figure out where that tradition came from. And are we doing it just because it's a tradition, just because we've always done it that way? How's that working with our government, by the way? How's that working with our government? I didn't even look. Is Joe out there? Joe, you here with us today? Is Joe with us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right,
yes,
Joe. Good. Yeah, I'm sorry for the delay here, Joe. I don't know if you heard what happened there. We had a little bit of trouble.
Oh no, I was a party to the whole conversation.
All right, brother. Well, we had a little bit of trouble down to Ground Zero today. They got us up and running here. So, Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you. Hey, folks, don't go away. I got some great stuff. Not that the communion isn't great. Don't get me wrong. Some of you didn't tune in for the communion, but we got some great stuff today. Okay, go ahead, Joe. Thank you, Lord.
Today's reading is, it's not this, is John 1, 6 to 17. I can go get a Bible.
We got a Bible. What's up there? These guys are, We got a snap crew down there, man. It's okay. On the screen.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for something to get out of the way on my end. There, it's gone. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Amen.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
Still don't, Joe. We still don't know him, do we? The world still doesn't know him. Go ahead.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Who would that be, Joe? Who would that be? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We could get into some of this, into genealogy, but this would be probably the Jewish nation, wouldn't it? And they rejected
it. It's a really, really deep chapter. I was tempted to start at number one today, but for time's sake, didn't. But
keep going, bro. You're doing great.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Not because they were born in the family. Is that right, Joe? As many as received him, those he gave the power to. Oh, now wait a minute. They just didn't automatically become the sons of God. He gave them the power to become. Wow. Go ahead.
Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Hey, so much for genealogies, baby. Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
The only begotten, only begotten, only one of them. Oh, we're all children of God, they tell us. The only one begotten. Spencer.
John, bear witness of him.
While Joe's talking here, look up begotten. Look that up in Webster real quick. Go ahead, Joe.
John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.
Wow, think about that. He was before me. The great I am, present tense, always, always was. Oh, we can't even conceive of it, can we? Go ahead. I'm thinking.
And of his fullness have all we sinned, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Holy smokes, are you kidding me? Law, Moses gave us the law. And the law was nothing more than the schoolmaster. Law is the schoolmaster that shows us that we need Christ. Moses gave us the law. Said, boys and girls, here's the law. Y'all are breaking it. You're going to need forgiveness. You're going to need mercy and grace. It all ties together. Begotten, procreated, generated. The only procreated, generated Son of God. He's every other child in the world was not begotten by God. Every other child was born through a man, through a woman, through the procreation of a man and a woman. Jesus was the only one that God's own seed was in. Does that sound right? I think it does. Go ahead, Joe.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning from across this great nation that you've seen fit to bring us to or let us be born in. And we are grateful for all that you're doing in our lives, in our nation, in our homes, in our churches. And we know that we need to do better, Lord. But we start this day with gratitude. And that's a good place to start. And we're grateful for the technology that lets this unique congregation meet from this great country and other parts of the world. And we ask that you help us not to be complacent, thinking that all is fixed now that we have a new president and a new team in the White House starting to lead the country. We know that there's a huge war, a spiritual war dwelling of which what we see in politics are only shadows. And we realize, Lord, that we need to keep praying. We need to use the authority that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to us with his resurrection from his sacrifice for us. And we realize that your word says that we are a part of the body sitting at the right hand of God as a part of our Lord Jesus Christ now, and we can pray from there. Let us remember that. Let us remember our authority. Let us rebuke what is not good, though it be here in the flesh, and let us remember that a lot of what we see is influenced from either heaven or the enemy. And so let us only receive that's from you, Lord. And let us always be ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ in these days. And we pray for all those on the East Coast, victims of the storm, and the West Coast of the fires. We pray that you give them relief, that you give them shelter, food, and hope of a way forward. And heal them when they're sick. And for us here on this call with this communion, let this be the meal that heals. Let us think of our body or our families or our spirits or our souls or where we need healing. And you know all of us, each of us do, Lord. And so we are so grateful that we worship the one and only true God who gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him may not perish, but will have everlasting life. We are grateful, and we ask you to bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and forgive us of our transgressions, Lord, so we take this communion cleansed in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. So I was thinking as Joe was going through all this stuff, I don't want to, Joe mentioned North Carolina. He mentioned the wildfires out in California. And, you know, we kind of breezed past the 90-some people that were killed in the crash yesterday. What if your body's never recovered? What if you die at sea? No burial. No last rites, nothing like that. What if, certainly, I'm guessing, a lot of people burned to death in the fire in California, didn't they? Did they have a funeral? Did they have a body that somebody could bless? See, I don't know why this is so hard for us to understand. We're a spirit. We live in a body. And we possess a soul. And the Bible tells us that to be absent from the body. How do you get absent from the body? How do I get absent from the body? Well, I pass away. Where? Pass away where? Because it says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Doesn't say I'm in heaven. It just says I'm wherever he is. Well, first of all, we know he's everywhere, isn't he? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. So when people die, that moment of death comes, whether through a fire, whether through a car accident, whether through a heart attack, at that point, friends, you gone somewhere, man. You are going somewhere. They can stick you in a grave. They can say all kinds of nice things, put flowers over the top of your grave, and those are all good remembrances for those who are left behind. But the reality is, where is you? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Is everybody present with the Lord? All those who have died? I'm just asking questions, right? Because we all got theology that people taught us to put down our throat. And I don't know if it's true. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if when I die, I go to heaven. Because there's a great resurrection, isn't there? Isn't there a time when the graves are open and the bodies come out? But friends, I don't care if your body comes out. You're a spirit. You possess a soul. That's you. That's who you are. Understand it? And I don't know if we really do. What did Jesus say about Lazarus when his sisters came to him and said, "Oh, Jesus, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died." What'd Jesus say? Come on now. What'd Jesus say? He didn't die. He's asleep. What does that mean? And then he said to everybody kind of around, I'm kind of just doing this from memory, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, yet he were dead, yet shall he live. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you, it means a couple different things, but I know this. There is no time outside where we are right now. There is no time. There's no time. So I can leave here and be in the presence of the Lord, and there is no time there. What is time? Time is nothing more than, if I understand it, Mark Trump could probably correct me here. Not just Mark, some smart guys could probably correct me, that time is nothing more than the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, and how many times that happens. And somehow through that whole thing, we tend to age. We get older. We grow up. But what is time? Time, I believe, is something that is stuck inside this time-space continuum that we find ourselves, this dimension that we're in. There's time here, rising of the sun, setting of the sun. But outside of this dimension, which is where we go when we die. That's why Jesus said, absent from the body. Hey, you leave this body, you're out of this earthly realm. You're present with where I am, man. Wow. I'll get off of this in a second. It's all so fascinating, because most of the things that I know about Christianity, can I tell you the truth? I wasn't taught in church. I've learned it on my own. Thank God for the internet. I don't have to go to the library and get books. I can Google something. I can search something. It's amazing information, right? How that whole thing works. And so until we realize that there really is another dimension outside the time space, there really is another dimension. We really do go someplace. Now, does that mean like we really, really actually leave? Or do we just go continue living in the spirit realm? Because we're the spirit. Spirit comes from God. He breathed into man the breath of life, became a living soul. The soul is your mind, your will, your emotion, your personality, who you are, all that stuff. We're going to know each other in heaven? I wonder what my dad looks like in heaven. Is it a physical heaven? What? No. Okay, I'm just kind of venting here because I went to the mortuary yesterday. And all these stuff, you begin thinking about this, don't you? Where do you go when you die? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I'll see you this day. I'll see you in paradise. And if you're anything like me, those questions have all been answered for you by some pastor, some teacher. Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. That's my phone going off. Richard, come on in here real quick. I got a lot more stuff, but I'll keep you on. Go ahead, Richard. Then Greg. Got to unmute. Go ahead, Craig. I know you're ready to roll. Richard, try to figure out how to unmute yourself. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, the question is how can you answer this in Mark chapter 1, verse 23? Excuse me. Now there is a man in a synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone.
What the heck? Wait, hang on. What's an unclean spirit? There's a good place to start. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that would be my question here. And then when you go to Mark chapter 5, this gentleman Legion, he has... Again, it says that Jesus came out of a boat, and the man that was in the tombs, he had an unclean spirit. Then you read a couple sentences down, he says he was clothed and he was in his right mind. So my question would be is, obviously, an unclean spirit can reside in somebody's body.
Obviously, yeah.
Pretty simple there.
Pretty simple, but I don't know if we get it all. I don't know. So anyway, I don't want to talk about death. I want to move on because I got some really, really interesting stuff, as always, to show you today. Man, oh man. What a time to be alive. I think, Lord, why of all the times in that, my goodness. Think of your grandparents. I remember going down visiting my grandparents down in the hills. Think how little they knew. I don't even know if they had, thinking back on it when I was growing up, my grandma died in 1963. I don't even know if she had coloring books in her house. I don't ever remember going to grandma's and coloring, watching color. We certainly didn't go there and watch videos. We certainly lived down in the hills of Fairfield County with much information rolling down through there. And so you think about Jesus said that we teach his commandments, the doctrines of men. Everything you've learned has been handed down. And as more and more information comes out, we understand that a lot of things that they told us simply haven't been true. Okay, I want to show you a couple things here real quick. Where is that? Friends, how far do we think? How's God going to bless America if we knowingly continue to slaughter unborn babies? Is there anybody out there, do you think there's anybody in the world, really, that doesn't understand that an unborn baby is a person? Yeah, I mean, come on. Now, we could talk about different levels of personhood. And I get all that, and whether they're sentient and all that kind of stuff. Is there anybody in the world that thinks that that little fetus, they don't even call it what it is, isn't alive? And in order to stop that little fetus from developing, I hate to tell you this, you have to kill it. And the Bible teaches us that little child was created in the image and the likeness of God. And Christians, since 1973, haven't been able to do anything about it? Really? Really? Is it because we've believed the lie? Is it because we don't really understand that there are evil forces? Is it because we don't really understand that the Luciferians want to be in control? They want to destroy everything created in the image of God. Luciferians are everything that Christians are not supposed to be. Luciferians are. They're everything. You're greedy. Can you imagine how greedy a Luciferian is? You're selfish. Can you imagine how selfish you are? What? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so the battle between the two seeds is alive and well right in front of us. And some people are serving their devil and they don't even know it. You're of your father, the devil, Bible says. Works of your father, you will do. And there's a lot of them, especially in Washington, D.C., but in other places, who are of their father, the devil, and they're doing their father's works. I mean, it's obvious. I'm going to show you a couple things here real quick. Pull up number 4B. No, let's just start with 4. I'm not going to focus on a book. Kim, I'll let Kim come on in before I play. Go ahead, Kim, come on in.
Well, I just want to point out, too, that it's not just before they're born that we're killing them. We're killing them once they're born as well. And I don't mean through live abortions. I mean through things like vaccinating them. And I just want to throw this out there. I've been going really deep into vaccines lately, and I've been deep for a long time because I never vaccinated Samantha, and she's 19. But is it possible that that was all developed so we could kill babies outside of the womb without even knowing that we're, you know, I mean, an easy way to get parents to volunteer their children to potentially, you know, and if they're not killed, well, then at least they're in the healthcare system now because they're sick and we can make money off of them.
So Kim, you know, I kind of said yesterday, so I go off and give my child the MMR vaccine because I don't want him to get measles, mumps, and whatever the heck that is. And so I inject
rubella.
I injected my child something to stop that from happening. What did that injection that went into my child, what's the byproduct of that? What came about as a result of injecting that in my body? Yeah, I don't get mumps, measles, and rubella. I don't get that anymore, but maybe I get this. And then when I get this, they say, oh, here's what you got to do. You have to take a vaccine to stop that. And so you take a vaccine to stop that. And when you take that vaccine, well, it creates this. And it's a never ending. What's the word I'm looking for? When you make something impure, it's a complete
corruption.
Corruption of the human body system, right? Do we get that? Do we get it, really? We don't get it, do we? And so there was a time when we trusted science. You still trust it? Go ahead, Kim.
I'm reading a book that was copyrighted in 1992, and they knew this stuff back then. This is nothing new. This is not new information that RFK is just coming out with. But it's been known for decades and decades, going back to when vaccines were first being put out, that they actually bring about more disease. More people end up with the actual disease that they're supposedly getting vaccinated against once they take the vaccine.
I've got
all the figures in some of these books I've been reading. But anyway, just to point that out, we're killing the babies after they're born in a variety of ways, through pharmaceuticals, through mental disease. Anyway,
all right, Kim, so are you sitting down on this one, Kim? Because here's one you didn't see. This is Dr. Stanley Plotkin, and I can't see because it's small, but I think it was in 2000. Can anybody see when this was, Spencer? Right at the top, is January 11th, testifying before Congress. 2008. Now, how many years ago is that? That would be 16 years ago. I'm sorry, 18? 18. Okay, so only 6 years ago. And so they got Dr. Stanley Plotkin talking about vaccines, of course, before Congress, and they ask him, well, read and weep. Go ahead.
This is were used in the study described in this article.
Yeah, 76.
Mm-hmm. And these fetuses were all 3 months or older when aborted, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And these were all normally developed fetuses, correct?
Yes.
What organs did you harvest from these fetuses?
Well, I didn't personally harvest any, but a whole range of tissues were harvested by co-workers.
Some of the pieces of the fetuses were pituitary gland that were chopped up into pieces. Okay, included the lung of the fetuses?
Yes.
Okay, included the skin?
Yes.
Kidney?
Yes.
Spleen?
Yes.
Heart?
Yes.
And tongue?
Yeah. I don't recall, but yeah, probably yes.
And this was just one study. So I'm going to ask you again. In your entire career, how many fetuses have you worked with?
Well, I don't remember the exact number, but quite a few when we were studying them originally before we decided to use them to make vaccines.
Do you take issue with religious beliefs?
Yes.
Okay. You have said that, quote, vaccination is always under attack by religious zealots who believe that the will of God includes death and disease?
Yes.
You stand by that statement?
I absolutely do.
Okay. Are you an atheist?
Yes.
How many fetuses?
There you go. Huh? Right there it is. And then what are they doing with them? What are they doing with the folks right now, today? What are they doing with the little babies? They're making vaccines. Well, what could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong with that, right? And so then you wonder why we see our senators, when RFK Jr. comes in there, why they attack him so much. Kind of playing off of what we saw. Yeah, I got another one for you. Got another one. Pull up number 4. I think that's the right one. No, number 4B. I'm sorry. 4B. Yeah, that guy. Okay, here we go.
This guy is brave for going undercover and getting these ladies to actually say this.
We're looking for livers and cardiac.
I can get you without any difficulty at all.
So this footage is being filmed by an undercover journalist. He goes to the National Abortion Federation's commercial trade show. This is being hosted at one of the biggest Planned Parenthoods in Texas. And this journalist is here to talk business.
Not every time I do a Nandini, I'm like, oh, there's
And this lady is Dr. Ann. She's the chief medical officer of this Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Ann is in the business of selling baby parts.
You have to come and play with our tissue. See if it's cool enough for you.
I like tissues.
We have a lot of it.
And they're all like, yeah, that's pretty profitable too. We get 5 to 6 samples a week.
Most weeks, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, anywhere between 5 and 10 samples a week. So I have 2 providers who go up to 24 weeks, and Ann is one of the providers.
This lady is named Tram, and she's the vice president of abortion access at Planned Parenthood. And Tram's about to tell us how she loves freezing conjoined twin babies as prized specimens to look at.
We have 17-week twins in the freezer because we're waiting for a funeral home to pick them up. They were like the most intact. And I was like, but it's really cool though. There's like 3 legs and like 2 spinal cords.
Yes, she knows what she's doing is psycho.
I'm like, yeah, I have like a leg for you. I'm like, oh, if other people were to hear me, they'd be like, you're f***ing evil.
Now you might think that this is illegal and the stuff varies in all states. Well, it is, but they have their ways of getting around that.
If I'm doing a procedure and I'm in fear that it's about to come to the umbilicus, I might ask for a second set of forceps, pull the body at the cervix and pull off the leg.
Oh, so yeah, okay.
So it's not...
Right.
What she's talking about is a partial birth abortion, where the baby is being birthed, legs out, and as the head and neck are still in the womb, they snip the back of the neck and suck the brains out.
When you have patients who like cooperate well, some of them are just like, and there's good dilation, it's just like one pass,
and you get the whole thing.
After this convention, the undercover journalist writes a contract offer to Tram. We'll give you $750 for the baby's liver and $1,600 for the liver and thymus paired. Tram's all on board, and she forwards it to her higher-ups. Now, this was led by an organization called the Center for Medical Progress, which was founded by a journalist named David DeLeiden. After these videos were released, David's house was raided by the state, and they took the video footage of the crime that Planned Parenthood has been involved in. Planned Parenthood is still funded hundreds of millions of dollars by your taxes every year. Planned Parenthood needs to be defunded.
So David DeLeiden was just pardoned or whatever. His case was just thrown out. They wanted to throw him in jail for doing the undercover work. Hey, friends, who's going to stop this? Republicans? It's big business. Making, what's it said? Merchandise of my people. Now, when Jesus said that you make merchandise of my people, he wasn't talking about abortion. He was talking about making money off of the people. But here we see literally literally making money off of little babies. And they tell us what? They're not really babies. They're not really children. They're fetuses. Well, if that's true, then why are they selling their parts? We've been so deceived, haven't we? Been so deceived. And the scripture said that the whole world groaneth waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Where are we? Where are we? Kim, you want to come back in? Still got your hand up.
It's called the medical industrial complex for a reason.
They know what's going on, don't they? They know what's going on. They know what's, folks, they, these guys know what's going on. Now, President Trump said he wants to defund Planned Parenthood. Well, good. That's good. This is murder. Are you looking at me? You understand that they pull these little children out and cut up their body parts and sell them and then tell us it's not a human being, not really a human being. Come on in, Johnny.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. I was just going to say, you know, they're all proud to be abortionists, but when it comes to selling the body parts, they're very opaque. They don't advertise that, do they?
No, they, so
they
sure
know. Don't. They know in their soul of souls that what they're doing is not right.
They know it, man. They know it. They're ashamed, huh? They're ashamed of what they do. They're ashamed of it. Jeff Nell.
Yeah, a little bit on the subject. The Planned Parenthood in Reno, Nevada, they built their building on investment property, so they back away, so people cannot pray or do something in front of the building.
Well, that is one of the reasons I brought it up is because our friends who were arrested and thrown in jail for pleading, you can't even go. Folks, if you went and you pulled a dog out of the road that somebody was going to hit and you rescued that dog, you'd be in the newspaper for rescuing that dog. And then people go to rescue children, unborn children, and they lock them up. They lock them up. Kevin Van Story.
Well, thank God that Trump has filed an EO to stop funding all Planned Parenthoods across the country. And, you know, years ago, I ran for Congress here in Southwest Missouri. And my current congressman, who I know personally, filed a bill yesterday through Congress to quote that life starts at conception and that that life deserves all the rights and liabilities and protections that are afforded by our Constitution.
Kevin, why is that so hard? Why is that so controversial? So what kind of people want to slaughter their offspring? It shows you our depravity. I'm all over the place again this morning. Part of it's because we got off to kind of a rocky start here. So I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna switch gears here on you a little bit. Kim, come on back in.
Okay. The reason we got to this place, or a big part of the reason, is because we removed God from everything, and it started pretty much with our schools. If you go back to the history of our country. It was in the 1820s with Horace Mann. He wanted education to be free of any kind of religion. And when it's free of religion, it gets replaced with something else. And when you can start teaching, indoctrinating the kids with those things, then of course, you just keep going downhill from there. And so now this is the end game.
Well, it's because the pulpits have gone silent on the moral issues.
That is part of it too. But when you have a kid, a child that's in school more than they are with their parents and more than they are at church, then that's perfect for the government.
That's right. You can't send your children to Caesar's school and then be surprised when they come home little Romans. You can't be surprised at that.
Okay, and they teach them all of this immorality.
They teach them well.
They do teach that sex ed is crazy in school now. It's just crazy. But it's been that way for a long time.
Okay, so let me make a point here. Here's the point I always try to make. We can't expect evil people to do good things. And so we take all the Christians and all the Christian influence out, and then we're surprised when evil things happen. Why won't the church, over and over I say the same thing. That's what I do. Bring up number two. Number two. This is a really good article, and I'm not going to, we forget, don't we? Because, the media controls what you and I know. They control it. Not only do they, is it biased, but they don't even let us know. And they call it misinformation, yada, yada. Did you hear me, Spence, number two? I'm sorry. Okay, now I want you to go. Look, the Democrats stole an election, and prison probes must be held accountable, all right? So in all this stuff that Trump's doing this, Trump, people there screaming and hollering, oh, he's getting even. Scroll down a second, Spence, to where it's, keep going to where it says remember, because this is all good at the top two. But right there, start right there, and we're just going to go down there. Okay, they elected, they threw those guys in jail. They threw Bill Dunphy in jail. They threw others in jail. Remember that President Trump wanted to send 10,000 National Guardsmen to keep matters under control, but Pelosi wouldn't let him? Remember that the FBI revealed by FBI whistleblowers they had agents embedded in the rally who incited the violence? Do you remember also that the police began their violence by firing rubber bullets? The police started it. You remember that? That these acts of violence committed by corrupt police incited the rally attendants to push back against the barricades, which is the whore U.S. media played to the full hilt as the insurrection. They shot at people and then got mad when people responded, right? Peaceful protest. It was peaceful till what? Who started it, right? Let me find this. I got lost. Remember also that the appearance of violence was created by having a corrupt police officer shoot and kill Ashley Babbitt. They killed her. Shooting was never investigated. Officer was promoted. Yeah. Remember that the Democrats refused to release the videos of the storming of the Capitol? After Republicans regained control of the House, the videos were released. The videos showed that there was no storming. The police opened the doors, escorted the rallies into the Capitol. There was no invasion of the Capitol. There was none. Two, remember also that Merrick Garland lied through his teeth that the rally attendees killed a police officer? They didn't kill any police officer. The only police officer that died was that Sitnik, who died from natural causes. Remember also, police attacked rally attendees with batons, bats, attendees who raised their arms in defense were charged with assaulting a police officer. Do you remember that also that a totally corrupt Justice Department violated privacy rights in order to hunt down and charge anyone who was present at the Capitol part of the rally? Instead of calling suspects for questioning, they sent SWAT teams, reincarnations of the Nazi Gestapo. They broke into Americans' homes in the middle of the night, terrorizing children or dragging handcuffed parents out of the house, and Christians not saying anything about it. Remember also that the false and invented charges were enhanced with serious felony charges for those who refused to self-incriminate with a plea bargain. The Democrats just wanted convictions for the whore media to hype to protect the rigged scheme from collapse. Remember also the instances of the wrongly incarcerated being held in solitary confinement, beaten, imprisoned far from home in order to deny them support from visitations. Many were constantly shifted from prison to prison so that the families did not even know where they were. The false indictments and convictions cost many their careers, their wives, their businesses, their homes. A young millionaire businessman lost his business and his wife. A medical student was disowned by his cowardly and stupid parents who fell for the BS fed to them. The abuses suffered by the J6 did not stop with their pardon. Had Gary Haven and others not organized to meet the pardon upon their release, some might have frozen to death. Some of the pardons were released from prisons in the middle of nowhere, in short pants, into freezing temperatures, without a cent, no ability to get a safe place. The stinking, dirty Biden regime and gang of despicable criminals that comprised its injustice system gave America 4 years of a Stalinistic gulag archipelago. Pardons for their innocent victims is just the first step of restoring justice in America. All of those responsible for the fake insurrection and convictions of innocent Americans must be hunted down, arrested, indicted, and convicted. And I'm sorry, folks, if you think that's revenge. That's justice. If the Democrats' criminal act of stealing a presidential election and then, in order to cover up their theft, refocusing attention on a concocted insurrection and falsely convicting 1,500 innocent Americans for something that never happened can escape accountability, then Trump has no chance of making America great again. There must be justice. Roger, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, amen. I just want to say that unless they go after these people that were perpetrators of J6ers, there was a stolen election. It was an overthrow of government. That's what it was.
It was.
Unless they go after them for treason and put them where they belong, we're never going to get a handle on this because we're allowing evil to triumph.
You know? So do we see, Roger, how the both sides of the aisle, I'm sorry, folks, both sides of the aisle, man, oh, man, they're not really supporting like Kash Patel. They're not really supporting anybody that's going to expose the inner workings of Washington, D.C. The money, where all the money went. Some of the Republicans are being silent. But they ain't really fighting for it. Because why? Big gravy train, baby. It's a big gravy train. And they're all locked up and caught up in it. Right? Got just a couple minutes. Kim, come on. Go again.
Okay, so this isn't just about what they're doing with Trump. They're going to continue to try and undermine his administration, but
right.
the Republicans are state, I don't know anybody's following it. What they're doing with DeSantis, who called an emergency to address the border, choose the legal immigration, and the Republicans are lockstep with the Democrats trying to undermine him because he wants to get on board with Trump as quickly as possible and do whatever they can to get the illegals out. But they like their cheap slave labor down here. They don't want to get rid of it. So they're undermining DeSantis. So this is an issue that is it's a thing. Oh, there's a word I'm looking for right now. This is intrinsic. This is just running throughout our country. It's not just one thing. Our whole nation is being undermined at once.
Okay, so Kim, let's get to the heart of it here, folks. Spencer just told me I have 11 more minutes because we started late, so I can back off a little bit, right? See, part of the problem that we're dealing with is we have, under the false delusion, again, we were talking earlier about things that you learned that aren't true. Friends, are you looking at me? We're not all God's children. We're not all God's children. And yet, the church teaches that lie. How do you become a child of God? How do you become one, a child of God? Are atheists children of God? Jesus said to them, you are of your father. See if you can find that, Spencer. You are of your father, the devil. Now, is Jesus lying? You are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Does the Bible, do Christians teach that? There it is. What is it? John 8:44. Jesus speaking, you're your father, the devil. The lusts of your father, you're going to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who was? Their daddy. And he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When your daddy speaks, he speaks a lie, because he speaks of his own. He's a liar and the father of it, and you're just like him. You're your daddy's boy. And we teach in the church that we're all God's children when the scripture says just the opposite. Now, we were all created in the image of God, but we ain't all God's children. God has enemies. The church has enemies. Why does this seem so radical? They're enemies of the cross. Good against evil. They are of their father, the devil. And you boys are going to act just like your daddy. Because I know your daddy. He was a murderer from the beginning. There was no truth in him. And you all just acting like your daddy. Now, if you want to, you can get born again and get a new daddy. Adopted into a new family. But until then, sorry, you're of your daddy, the devil. Heard that preached in your church? Don't want to offend everybody. We welcome everybody here. Well, of course we do. We welcome everybody. But the devil's kids, remaining the devil's kids, are not welcome in my father's house. Sorry. Randy.
Yeah, Kirch, I don't know when your stopping point is, but just shut me down if I go too long.
You got about 9 minutes. We're doing good.
The kingdom of God is the answer to everything here we're talking about. Marcus, back in the day of the Roman Empire, okay, you know, it eventually fell. Christianity was really the reason it fell. The stone took down the last empire, which was Christ. We knew that was prophetic. But, Coach, there was an event that happened in a war, and the Romans were getting ready to be snuffed out. They were finished. It was done. And the Christians, they stepped in. This is all proven. It's documented in history. A few Christians in the middle there stepped in, and the Romans were all just prayed. They said, you know, Marcus Aurelius, the emperor, he was, I guess, or whatever the story goes, and he says, just pray to your God, because we're finished. There's no way. We're on all sides. We're out of water. We're going to die. We can't win. We can't beat them. There's too many of them. This is the end of us. So some Christians came in the letter. I wish I had it up, but they prayed over that, and God sent rain. He gave them strength, and he did, and they come out of it with a miracle, and they won this battle. After that, I think it was Marcus Aurelius, he wrote a letter to the Senate, and it changed the course of Rome for men on. Okay, now we know it got, you know, taken out, infiltrated, and it always does. But what happened was a few of the men of the king God said, no, I don't think our life's over. Can we pray? And they prayed, and they watched the kingdom of God turn everything. They saw the power of God through a few men. And what happened was, it was illegal then after that to be, you know, to hurt Christians, to kill them, and so on and so forth. And it changed the course. Now, Rome fell, it was supposed to, but the kingdom of God went on, and it flourished because of what it is. So, Coach, in our day right now, the kingdom of God, which is in you, it's in me, everyone who will do something and be righteous, we are the fix.
That's right.
We are the fix. We are the thing, the only thing. We can rebuild like that all morning, Coach, but until you take it in you and you become the power of God, the boots on the ground, the fixer, it's nothing's going to change. Everyone has to fix it. It's
folks,
them.
You never win through surrender. And the American church has surrendered the culture. Come on now.
We are the people that God's waiting on, Coach, right now, this day.
We are the people, right? The whole world groaneth for the manifestations of the sons of God. I don't know why we can't. The American church could stop abortion tomorrow. Look, President Trump said two genders, and that's it. It stopped. Well, where did he get the authority to say that? That is a Christian truth. What if the church, the whole time that we've been under this assault from trannies, what if the church drew a line in the sand, said, no, one man, one woman. What if we did? Did we? No, we didn't. Why? Because Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. James, come on in. Then Laura Ann, we got 5 minutes. Go.
Yeah, Shalom. How are you doing? Yeah, I think really we've lost. I mean, the kingdom of God thing is really good, and I know that brother talks about it. It's really important, but every one of us in this call are ambassadors to the Messiah on this
earth. We are. Amen.
Jesus said in 2 Corinthians through Paul, he said, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And it's a really important word, not imputing their trespasses and sins against them, but making us ministers of reconciliation. Amen. So we're kind of like bank account bankers who are trying to reconcile these people back to the cross.
That's right.
And if you really go back up a couple of verses, and I'll let you go. We fear God, because of the fear of God, because of the terror of the Lord, I think it says, we persuade men.
Yes, sir.
So it's really important to understand our calling. It's like, what does God call me to do? First of all, we are ambassadors to a kingdom that is not of this world.
Amen.
It is separate from what we see, smell, taste, hear, and think.
Amen.
So I love you, brother.
Thanks, James. Kingdom of God is within. Boy, what do you do with that? It's not someplace you're going. Kingdom of God is within. Laura Ann, quickly.
Well, I had the instrumental evacuation. That was a procedure that I had. And if the kids would just get more educated and the church would just raise their voice for those who are appointed to die. And I have a governor that's just like Newsom and the one in New York and in Oregon that wants to bring more slaughters and more abortions here to the United, to Illinois. And it's absolutely disgusting. And I have a governor in Illinois and hopefully somebody might be able to answer this question that I have. If Governor Pritzker gets, and any of these other governors, especially the Democratic ones, get arrested for going against a federal order, does that prevent them, like him and Newsom, being on the ticket for the presidential election the next time around? Because now they will be convicted felons for getting in the way of a federal court order.
I get what you're saying, but I mean, really. So the whole idea, God's not gonna wink and nod, folks, at the fact that the church turned its head when they were murdering babies. Little children created in the image of God, the American church, looked the other way. They looked the other way, went in their churches, and prayed for the blessings of God to fall upon them. Because why? Because we've been led by fleshly pastors. Rick Warren, Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, get. Jesus calls us to lay down our lives, and Joel Osteen's telling you to get yours enhanced. That's where the battle lies. Got to run. Have a good weekend. See you Monday.